Oh, hello. Welcome to the inaugural video podcast.
Yeah.
It's the first time.
Of the Nice Peter.
Podcast. It's the first time we've had a camera in here. It's the first time we've been in here. Now we're at my house. We used to live together here at this house. Now we live in separate houses.
This is Peter's room.
And this is Dante.
Hi.
Let's start the show.
Ba-da-da-ba-ba, it's intro music for the Nice Peter podcast.
Nice Peter podcast. So, I don't know if you can edit podcasts.
You can.
You're not supposed to?
Not supposed to, but...
It's a different experience for me. I'm so used to making videos and then just chopping them like crazy. Yeah. It's my whole world.
Well, people are going to know if this is chopped all crazy.
Yeah, they're going to definitely notice. Yeah.
You put in a lot of screen wipes or like diagonal ins and outs.
I used to do that in high school. I was my high school had a television show. It was like a morning show.
Yeah.
And I used to be the host of it in a little shirt and tie. Yeah. I had my little bowl cut. It was terrible. God, I had the worst. I don't have any hair now, but I had the worst hair as a younger person.
Did you have to edit it as well?
No, it wasn't edited. It was kind of live. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so you'd have that live switcher where you know, the diagonal wipes, all that stuff. And the guy who did the switching, a friend of mine named Ben, I'm going to go see him get married in September.
That's awesome. He's in Korea.
He lives in Korea. Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about that or not.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's hard to remember what we've talked about on the show here and what we haven't. So if we repeat ourselves, you know, forgive us. We're just excited.
I like hearing about Korea and faraway places. And
I think I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go. Oh, we talked about going to Japan.
Yes, we did.
That's right. Yeah. But I think Korea, I think it would be so helpful to have a guide, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've never been there, so I don't know what Asia is like at all, but I imagine it's going to be a lot different.
Yes.
And everything's going to be written in a different language.
The words are a little bit harder to understand.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but all that aside, my pulse is still coming down a little bit from the cat incident.
Yeah, lost gray cat for just 1 second.
For like 5 minutes. And yes. I freaked out.
He wasn't lost, though. He was just hiding really well.
Yeah. Well, he gave me a good old scaring. There were some tears in the bathroom. I hid them from you guys. Our friend Derek is behind the camera. Dante and he were setting up everything. And after we found the cat, I went to the bathroom. And I teared a little bit. It was such a rush of emotion. I love my cats like they're babies.
Yes.
I think it's maybe my age, my place in life. I'm kind of ready to have babies.
Yeah. Well, you have fur babies.
Yeah. That's what they're labeled as in my filing cabinet. And I don't feel comfortable with that title.
Well,
who started that fur babies? That sounds...
It's a whole genre of person right now.
Yeah.
If you're a fur baby owner, parent.
I want to have pets. And then at some point I want to have babies. I don't want to have fur babies. That sounds like a disease.
I think it's one step in your caring, you know, meter. It's like you care about pets, you really care about fur babies,
right?
Then you really care about human babies, and then like below pets, you have like service or work animals,
sure,
like a farm situation,
yeah. Where you
so I think that's the meter you go on. Yeah,
I've heard that you don't name animals on a farm that you're gonna kill or whatever.
I've heard that as well.
Ugh, it was intense. So I lost Gray Cat for a minute. I thought he had while they were loading in equipment. I thought he had shot out the front door. And he doesn't go, we let him into the backyard to like ramble a little bit, him and his brother Orange Cat, of course. But it's all fenced in, they don't go anywhere. So I thought he was out in the front, on the street, in the wild. And I went out there freaking out. I was crawling on my hands and knees, looking under cars, shaking his laser pointer, because he usually runs to the sound of a shaking laser pointer.
I knew deep down he was here.
Yeah.
That's because he's not my fur baby.
Yeah.
But I knew.
It reminded me instantly of an episode I had with my father in a shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 8 or 9 years old and I got lost from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wandering around the shopping mall. And by the end, I was crying a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally found my father, who was with like a mall security guard, he was also crying. It was such a rush of emotion to be reunited.
Big mall?
Well, you know, not in the modern times.
When you're a smaller child, it's a relatively big mall.
Humongous. Yeah. Yeah. My dad's shoes were a big mall at the time, but that was the Marketplace Mall in Rochester, New York.
Okay,
one story. You know, malls now. We got to go to the Mall of America.
Yes, we did.
Tour last summer and ride the roller coasters and stuff. That's too much.
Yeah, that's a super mall. That's
I don't need it.
No, I think it goes beyond what a mall truly was meant to be.
Did you hear about that converted Walmart in, I think, in South America somewhere?
No.
They took a Walmart that closed down, and they turned it into, like, you know, instead of having a big vacant building, they took it into, like, a community center.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a library, events, there's a farmer's market in there.
Okay.
All kinds of awesome stuff.
Open air?
Well,
contained?
No, in the Walmart.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So I think maybe a combination of both.
Huh.
I would like to see every single Walmart.
And now it's no more Walmart, correct?
No.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's community
fully behind
center.
That.
So let Walmart build the buildings,
mm-hmm.
spend all that money,
mm-hmm.
and then stop shopping there.
Yeah.
Everyone, never shop at Walmart again.
You don't need to.
It's terrible. Every once in a while, you do need to. That's the problem. Sometimes you're driving through certain communities, and that's all there is.
But wasn't that what, like, the dollar store or the 7-Eleven was for? You know?
Yeah.
Like that weird late night thing. You need, like, a funnel or a battery or duct tape.
But I had to go to Walmart to buy, like, a suitcase.
Yes. But
I don't know. Maybe I should back off the hate on Walmart, because every once in a while it's handy.
For sure.
But
does it have to be so gigantic?
Does it have
handy?
To be so big?
Yeah.
Do they have to sell groceries?
I don't, but they do.
And electronics? Can't they stick to suitcases and funnels?
I think Amazon's going to be our Walmart, man. I think that's all there is to it.
And
all the Amazon
great.
And the drones and the ability to be like, I want this.
Why'd you just link Amazon with drones?
Because they're going to do a drone program. They're going
to drop stuff off in your front yard?
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Totally. They're talking about airspace. They're talking about how they're going to be able to navigate these drones to deliver things to you.
I can't tell if I'm excited or terrified.
It's a little bit of both. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Because who's going to stop someone from robbing that drone unless the drone has some sort of armored protection gun? And then how far are we from RoboCop?
I think Elon Musk is working on that right now.
He doesn't own Amazon.
But still, I know he's working
he's
on
probably
it right
working
now.
On it. Yeah, he's probably working on it. I like the drones. I have a helicopter drone that I don't get to use enough. I have some I like things that fly.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're great.
What's up with the drone? Does it still work? Or is
oh,
it...
yeah, it works great.
Yeah.
You know who wanted to borrow the drone was Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5.
Really?
And I got a... I know. Yeah. I was out of town when he learned to use it. And just the opportunity... Charlie Tuna, by the way, you,
mm-hmm.
Derek, Katz, was the nicest man.
Yeah.
His hands were enormous, as it seems most of the rappers we were... guest rappers.
He's an enormous man.
He's huge.
Yeah.
But so kind. And we had a conversation after we filmed. He played Neil deGrasse Tyson. And after we filmed, we sat out near the in the trunk of his car, hanging out. And the conversation went on so long and so beautifully that I almost had to go.
Yeah.
But I could. I wasn't going to like be like, oh, Charlie Tuna, sorry. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I stayed. But he was so gracious, and he started telling stories, and they were fascinating, and his voice was so amazing the whole time. It was like a big lullaby of beautiful big-handedness.
Like a, who did James Earl Jones?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just kind of talking you to sleep.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
But he wanted to borrow my drone, and I missed the opportunity. Derek has a drone. He's
mm-hmm.
Maybe we should get some drone cameras in here just to make everything super irritating.
Everything's got high level of white noise, like...
I think that's going to be the next step forward in drone technologies, eliminating the blender sound that happens.
Oh, yeah, silent drones.
That'd be fresh.
Yeah. Do you happen to see on Reddit the guy who turned it, I guess he made a Millennium Falcon, but then input the 4 quadcopters into it?
I saw the link. I didn't click
it's
on
pretty
it.
Pretty cool. Apparently it wasn't, you know, the most nimble, and it couldn't go super fast, but he's flying it around and goes up and down. But I think it can't go forward very quickly.
Oh, that's stupid.
But hey, it's the
that
first,
sounds like
first
a
step.
Stupid drone.
It's the first step. I mean, think about all the Star Wars memorabilia you could make with all of those different shapes and then drone technology.
Yeah, man, I had the Millennium Falcon toy, and I made it fly by going, you know, and I had a great time. It doesn't need to actually fly. That's for children.
Yeah.
For children, toys, I get bothered by how much toys do now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas toys used to just be a lot of blank spaces for you to fill in with your own sounds, your own action. Now it's like karate chop sound effect movement, and it's stupid.
Do you remember your favorite toy?
Star Wars toys.
It's just any
100%.
Was there a particular Star Wars toy?
All of them. All of them.
Not even like a figurine, or it was
a spaceship, or no. Honestly, it was like trying to decide which cat I love the most.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, orange cat's louder. It's got that cute howl. Sometimes annoying. Gray cat, way creepier. like when he comes up to cuddle, it's he's got this like creepy look in his eye, and he likes to knead your armpit.
Gray Cat's always up to trouble.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Yeah,
but I love them both equally, and all my Star Wars toys I loved equally. I used to bury them in the backyard.
Yes,
and
totally
lose them, mm-hmm. and my brother would get real pissed. This is the first time. It's interesting on this podcast. I've talked about my brother more and more.
Yeah. Is he going to hope he comes on the podcast sometime?
Should I have my brother as a guest?
Absolutely.
On the, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, eventually.
I've kept my brother kind of out of my YouTube existence. I mm-hmm. never talked about him on the Monday show or anything, but we went through a hard time, my brother and I. Mm-hmm. We went through some challenge in our relationship, but we've certainly gotten over it.
Yeah.
Gotten closer again. Yeah. I think, so my brother lives in Los Angeles. He's a screenwriter, and I think we got so used to living apart from each other. Because I lived in New York, he lived in Los Angeles. I lived in Chicago, he lived in Los Angeles. All of a sudden, we lived in the same town. It was like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was like, are we supposed to hang out?
Same here.
Like, we're not,
yeah.
We usually hang out once a year.
Yeah.
And talk and get along. And so, but yeah, we figured it out. Yeah, your sister.
Yeah, my sister and I are 8 years apart. So we had very little time of living at home together.
Sure.
When, you know, she went to college when I was just getting into high school and stuff right. like that. And I think she's even going to LA when I was just getting into high school. So...
Did she bring you back illicit things from college when you were getting to high school?
No, but she did leave a bottle of Aftershock liqueur thing.
Is that the
drink?
Cinnamon one?
I think so.
Or
but
the
she,
anise?
But she left it on her in her bedroom, which I kind of took over after she left.
Sure.
And she put the highlighter in it to make it glow in dark at
Disgusting.
Night with a black light.
Yeah. You're not supposed to do that in stuff you drink.
Well, I didn't know. I knew nothing about liquor. All I knew is I saw a bottle of liquor and it glowed. I've never
you
seen
drank
Aftershock.
That stuff?
And I thought, this is what Aftershock does.
No, bro, that's just highlighter water.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Because I was like, this tastes just like water. This is awesome.
No.
And I continued to drink it and continued to drink it. I mean, I live to tell the tale.
Sure.
But I would recommend, Aftershock is not actually fluorescent.
Nope. Did your pee glow in the dark?
I don't recall my pee. I knew something was wrong. I knew something
All right.
wasn't totally
Let's back up a couple
how
steps.
Liquor tasted.
If you ever accidentally drink a glow-in-the-dark liquid again... Please pay closer attention to your pee.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let us know yeah. that if that happens.
No.
Because drinking something glow-in-the-dark is gross and probably really bad for you. Having glow-in-the-dark pee,
awesome.
That's amazing. I would pee right back in the bottle and put it back on the shelf and then have some other idiot try and drink it. Not that you're an idiot, but that no. guy would be.
Yeah. I was 13. I was
sure.
Which, we're all idiots at 13, I'm pretty sure.
So... My brother, one time, we used to have a liquor. My parents don't really drink that much.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
father, I have a beer or a glass of wine or whatever. And my mother drinks Bailey's, which mm-hmm. turns out is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a liquor cabinet down in the basement, or a shelf full of booze bottles. And there was this like vodka in the back
mm-hmm.
that one time me and my next door neighbor, I reached all the way in the back,
yeah.
put it in the some plastic things, yeah. filled it back up with water,
yep.
put it back. A couple weeks later, my brother's going to a New Year's Eve party, reaches in the back, takes the vodka. Took this bottle of water to the New Year's Eve party,
yeah.
and he had the same experience. He drank quite a bit of it,
yeah.
thinking, because it still smells a little bit.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
the inexperienced.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Drinking is such an incredible journey. As you, I think here in America, it's like, all of a sudden we get to college, it's like,
yeah. And before that, it's this covert operation.
Sure.
And you know nothing, and except, I don't know, like someone give you a beer at, this family gathering.
Right.
That's it.
I was never allowed to do that.
Yeah, I got a sip and I'm like, that's gross.
That totally it. Gross. But, oh, beer just tastes like cheese feet.
That did
disgusting.
You, I remember going into my parents' liquor cabinet and making gin and juice because, you know, Snoop Dogg. But then like learning that it's just disgusting. I feel maybe I missed something in
I've
the
had
equation
some
of,
your,
of gin and juice.
I've had some of your old mixed drinks and they were gross. Dante used to make martinis and he would fill it up halfway with vermouth
yeah.
and then halfway with gin. It was disgusting.
I was learning.
But he has, his drinks since have, oh, you made some yeah. phenomenal cocktails here.
Gotta
the other
make
night.
Some bad cocktails before you make some good ones.
That is true.
Yeah.
You can't make an omelet without puking Bring on it. Some chickens. But drinking, I remember going to college and so after the covert like black market era of high school
yeah.
where you can like, you know, sell a 40.
Mm-hmm.
I sold a lukewarm 40 for like $8 to
no
Sadiq. And yeah, I had this lukewarm 40 in my neighbor's attic
yeah.
and I sold it for $8. I was totally doing black market booze in high school. But then you get to college and it's like, it's still not legal for us to drink
no.
here in America, which is totally stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think
ridiculous. 18,
If you can, as my friend's dad would say, if you can die in a war or take a bullet for your country,
sure,
you can have a drink. And I completely agree.
There's so many things you can do at 18.
Yes.
But this drinking, and you could drink at 18. Who among us has not had a drink at 18 to 21?
No.
But the problem is we have to do it like hidden in the back or in a dorm room. And it's like, let's do 8 shots of tequila, then go out.
Because we don't know how this works.
No clue.
Yeah.
No sense of responsibility. Yeah. And then people end up with alcohol poisoning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So we got invited to meet the president of the United States. I got all serious there.
No, Barack Obama.
But it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So there was that was about healthcare.
Uh-huh.
There was a follow-up meeting we were invited to here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm, that it was like an 80% chance he was going to be there. So I was like, yeah, I'll go. So I went up and we were talking about, they're doing a thing about sexual assault in colleges. Very important.
Yes.
Super important. The statistics are ridiculous.
Yeah.
What they're saying is something like 1 in 4, 1 in 5, something like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's accurate, it shouldn't be. It should be 1 in nothing.
Yeah.
0 in 5.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be people assaulting people sexually in college. There's so much like happy, joyful sex opportunities.
Absolutely.
You got to get the assault out of there.
Yeah.
The coercion.
Yes.
So one of the things they talked about is how it's often under the influence of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a question. I was like, has anyone, and it was, so Barack Obama was not there,
mm-hmm,
but his like number two, Valerie Jarrett, mm-hmm, I hope I'm saying her name right, because she's like a big deal in the government. She was there. Another guy from the White House was there. There were some big ballers in the White House, which it was amazing to be sitting down. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
To be having a conversation with these people who are actually in the top levels of our government asking us questions. It was me. It was like Rhett and Link, Grace Helbig. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I asked the question of, well, have you ever considered lowering the drinking age so, mm-hmm, that people can start to learn how to drink responsibly, legally, at a measured pace, you know, go out, you have a drink, you have 2 drinks. So it's not slamming shots, going out, losing control, having to go to a house party. Like that's the problem. You can go to a bar and not get a drink. All you have to do is go to the frat party and you can get a drink.
You can get all
annihilated.
Sorts of drinks. Yeah.
And there's no, you know, nobody's charging you. There's no bouncers. There's just a bunch of, you know, not all frat dudes are sketchy, but let's be honest.
Probably the statistics are also in the favor of the coercion.
There's a higher odd of sketchiness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's based on nothing. If you're out there and you're in a fraternity and you're not at all sketchy, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, no, they exist.
Of course.
I've had my experiences.
It might be a stereotype, but it's got to be proved to me to be incorrect first. So I asked the question of, well, has anyone even talked about this? You're in the government. Have you ever considered it?
Yeah.
Because you're just sitting here talking about how many people are drinking underage. Have you considered, you know, making it a legal thing so people can do it responsibly?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even, like, they ignored my question. Like, they were like, yeah, so we're going to, and I got a little miffed.
Yeah.
Valerie Jarrett. I was like, yo, I just asked a reasonable question. You invited us here to talk. I think this is a good point.
Yeah.
I asked it again. And that was an interesting moment because this lady is not my mom. This is like one of the heads of our federal government. And I was like, excuse me, I asked you a question. I didn't say it like that. I wish I had. But I really wanted them to at least answer me.
Yeah.
And at least tell me whether they had thought about it, considered it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they refused to, they barely acknowledged the question. And I do think that's a huge part of the problem is that we keep everything out of legality,
mm-hmm,
so people don't do it right.
Yes, 100%.
But they wouldn't even talk to me about it.
It's bizarre.
Wow.
I mean, but just to, I'm sure. I wonder if it was more so because they were not expecting to answer it. Like they had no talking points for how about we lower the drinking age.
How can you be talking about how bad binge drinking is on college campuses and not consider the option of, hey, should we maybe regulate this, put it out in the open?
Yeah.
People are drinking.
Yeah. They're going
It's causing through. Problems.
It's historically.
Haven't stopped it.
Yeah.
No statistics are
Before
saying.
Before Prohibition,
ugh,
always.
So much drinking during Prohibition.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so, all right, is this an option? To me, it's like if my cat was constantly breaking into my Cheetos, which I don't eat. I don't know why I said it.
Yeah.
The screen got dark.
That's all right. We're rocking.
And I wasn't feeding him. Mm-hmm. And me just constantly trying to lock up my Cheetos instead of feeding my cat. Maybe that's a terrible metaphor. Maybe it's not even a metaphor. All I'm saying is you try and lock stuff away and hide it, and it still happens.
Yeah.
But if you start to educate people, be like, yo, you're not breaking the law. Just slow down on your drinking. You're 19 years old. You weigh 112 pounds. Don't do 3 tequila shots.
Yeah.
At a time.
Yeah.
Before you go out, and you're going to have a better night.
Or I feel like another element too is, okay, you want to see what 3 tequila shots are like? Here you go. Like, we're all going to hang out here tonight.
Sure.
Parents are home.
Right.
Here's 3 tequila shots. You want one more? Here's a fourth.
Sure.
And you're throwing up. And that's what
happens.
What feeling like that, you know?
But I
feel like you got to go there in order to kind of understand.
Of course, but you got
to
go there in a safe place.
Totally.
Yep. I don't know if a bar is a safe place.
No.
Because what I don't like about bars is if you get too drunk in a bar, they're like, we don't want you here.
Yep.
And they just throw you out. And that's a little shady.
You could be anywhere.
College bars are so shady. I got...
I smell so bad.
A girl I was dating in college, she was, I think, 17 or 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I was only 18, so it's not too weird.
Safe here.
I was a younger man, but she was even younger than me.
Yep.
She was 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
I got her into a college bar with a man named Brian D. Eberts. Driver's license. Now, this is a long-haired man.
Yes.
But he was named Brian D. Eberts, and he was like 5'10".
Yeah.
And this was a 5'3" girl who was like 17, maybe 18 years old.
Yeah.
And the bouncer was like, $3, you know, just got in. And it was ridiculous.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. And that kind of stuff happens every day. And yet, you know, you go to ask the question of like, hey, have you ever considered maybe doing this in a smarter way? And yeah, got brushed off.
I want to still believe it's because they just were just never expecting that question.
Maybe.
It's like, it's so obvious and so fundamental that you don't question it, you know?
I don't think they were expecting really us to get, you know, we were all really excited. And you look at Rhett and Link, and those are some guys that really can influence young men.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole point behind this campaign is to empower young men to see a sexual assault happening or about to happen and step in and be like, yo, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And to make the men who, or the women, you know, who get involved, who step in, who interfere, make that cool.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, dude, I was totally about to hook up with that chick. You blew up my spot. What's up with you? To get rid of that. And that's going to take some time. That's going to take some effort to change that stigma of cock blocking or kook blooking, as we say here on the Nice Peter podcast, into like, oh, you're a hero. You know, you're protecting somebody, man or woman, who is, they've lost control of themselves. They're a little too drunk. They're getting, you know, kind of coerced by this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you stepped in as a hero to elevate that guy and eliminate the kook blook.
I think another part of that too possibly could be our inability for the most part to defend ourselves. Like, it's not like kind of mandatory, or it's not part of your gym class to take a martial art.
I got to take a martial art. Yeah.
Mine was like, I did too, but it was private. It was somewhere else. It was either the Boys and Girls Club or something like that. But I feel like a lot of people coming into college, and myself included, like, I don't totally know how to defend myself.
Right.
And so therefore, to stop something, I don't feel very capable. But if we learn at an earlier age, and I feel like that also has a lot to do with bullying, like, you might not get bullied as much. People might not get bullied as much in total if everyone had a fundamental idea of how to defend themselves and throw a punch and back up a little bit or do whatever they have to do.
So that's an interesting short-term solution. I think in their long-term goal is to, like, if you were at a party and you started doing Nazi salutes, everybody'd be like, that's not socially acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're trying to change the sexual coercion into being not socially acceptable.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot more sense. I still think that I stand by my martial arts. But
agreed.
What you're saying is something that can happen now.
Can happen and will happen over the long term is shifting the idea of it into that dude's right. He's just helping you realize you were being wrong, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just helping you out. That's wrong. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm helping you be that guy. Yeah. I'm helping show you the light.
Yeah.
There's plenty of ways to get laid in college where everyone's happy.
Yeah. Like, and you got to start by like using your brains.
using your brains and using less tequila.
Yeah.
A little bit of tequila maybe here and there.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But mostly brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, rock hard abs.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
And have a good physique.
Good sense of humor. Learn how to play guitar.
Know how to crack a joke.
Yeah,
exactly. Playing guitar helps.
Oh, it's a godsend.
Yeah.
So Rhett and Link, you know, when you look at them, they are real influencers. There's there's a lot of people watching them every day who really look up to them as, you know, as like an older brother figure, as a father figure, as a co-dude figure. Yeah. I look up to them. I've admired those dudes since the moment I met them.
Yeah, same here.
I met them at VidCon. They invited me to sit at their lunch table. I was a nobody on YouTube. And they were like, hey man, you want to sit with us? I was like, whoa. And I sat with them and I've been loving them every minute since. Yeah. So they were eager to be involved, and I don't know how much they have gotten involved with what I was trying to do, but the meeting as a whole seemed much more like a, hey, just wanted to get a little FaceTime with you guys. All right, got to move along. Instead of realizing the potential of a pair like Rhett and Link, far beyond what rap, you know, what is rap battles going to do to stay, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's going to be like, don't rape people, dicks, you know, maybe. But Rhett and Link have a chance to really be honest and really shape some developing minds.
Yeah.
I think they should take them real seriously. And it didn't look like they took them seriously enough. I don't know. I was only there for 15 minutes. Maybe it's progressed to something else. I don't know.
I would also come under the assumption that people who are into Rhett and Link probably are also not going to coerce anyone in a violent or bad manner.
True.
You know what I mean?
True. And, but you need those leaders in your social group.
Totally. But I think everyone who's already listening to them they should talk about it.
Totally.
But their audience, I think, is already on board to being awesome.
Definitely probably not a lot of rapers in the Rhett and Link crowd. However, are they comfortable talking to someone who is a friend of theirs who's about to make a mistake? Or a guy they know?
Yeah.
Do they know the things to say to jump in when they see a girl falling down drunk?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, kind of, you know, that kind of weird, shady stuff. I never really saw much of that in college. I think my friends were either too stoned or too nice.
Or a lot of it happened in the fraternities behind closed doors.
Right. Maybe.
Not at all, but...
This is not the Hate on Fraternity podcast.
No, it is not. But I know people, I have been around, I've just heard some weird things.
Heard stories. It's a stereotype. Yeah. It's out there.
Yeah.
And what an exciting opportunity to turn that around.
Yes.
Fraternities could be known for their safety, their sexual security.
Yeah.
You can go to a frat party and never get assaulted. Yeah. That's what it could be.
Yeah. It's a brotherhood. It should be a brotherhood of you know, conviction and morals and
assault-free
doing the
zone.
Right thing. And
no shame.
Instead of like,
but no assault.
How we get all the cheap booze together,
right?
And all the girls come over.
That said, some of my favorite concerts I've ever played in front of, you know, some of the nicest, coolest, most supportive people at an early part of my career. My nose got a little stuffy. There's a flu going around, isn't there?
Yeah, I got something.
It's terrible. Was at a fraternity house in Bloomington, Illinois. I was playing at a place called the Pub 2, and it was a sports bar. I was playing my concert, doing my best. People were into it. And behind me was a giant television playing SportsCenter, which is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, you can't compete with that. Yeah. You can't get people into something when SportsCenter is playing behind you.
No.
So I asked the bartender from the stage. I was like, hey man, can you, first I asked him right in person. I went up, I was like, hey man, I'm playing or I'm about to play. Can you shut off the 10-foot sports center that's right behind my head? Oh, no, man. This is a sports bar. So play your show. And we'll give you money. Shut up. So got up there. Got the crowd a little into the show. Started picking up momentum. Played 50 Cent as a pussy.
Yeah.
You know, got them riled up. Yeah. And then I asked, you guys having a good time? Yeah. You guys want to watch a concert? Yeah. Do you want to watch sports center? No.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want them to shut this TV off? Yeah! All right, bartender. People have spoken. Can you shut the sports center off? Nothing. Just not even a nope. Just not even an acknowledgement. It's like he worked for the White House. So I kept going, and I got him riled up again, and I went for one more push. I was like, all right, this is it. Let's get these TVs turned off. Got the whole crowd chanting, turn them off, turn them off. You know, not getting angry, not getting hateful. Just like, come on, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's change this night.
Yeah.
We can watch SportsCenter on our ass any day. This is a concert.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nope. They might have even turned it brighter, you know?
Probably not.
So I got a little aggro, as I used to get in my old days. And I started singing a song called Fuck the Pup 2.
Yeah.
And this was called The Pup 2. And the whole song was about how I was going to poop on the outside of the bar. Real passionate.
I love that stuff.
Man. I know.
Love that stuff.
I know. I know.
It's the best.
I know. I loved parts of it too. It was exciting. I was nervous. I'm nervous even thinking about it.
But the adrenaline.
Yeah, the adrenaline's huge.
Ugh.
So the whole crowd singing, fuck the pub too.
Yeah.
We're going to poop on the bar. On the outside, mind you. Not in the bar. That's disgusting.
Yeah, but I'm
we were gonna fecate on the bricks outside.
Yeah.
All of us. Probably not really going to do that, but that was the song. And I thought that would get it.
Yeah.
Kept the TVs on. And eventually I had to be like, you know what? I'm out of here. This concert is over. It was like 30 minutes in to a 3-hour set. I was like, keep your $300. I'm out.
That's awesome.
And this dude stands up in the front. He's like, yo, I'm in a fraternity. You want to come play in our basement? We'll get all these people there. I was like, hell yeah, dude. We all left. Half the bar left, went to this fraternity basement.
Yeah.
There was extension cords running through puddles of water. Like, so unsafe, but it didn't matter. They set up this little PA, and we must have sang Fuck the Pub 2 about 80 times that night. I played songs. We rocked out. People were dancing, going crazy. Super cool dudes. Everybody was great. And then that started a tradition where every year, instead of going to that bar, I would go back to this fraternity.
That sounds awesome.
And they knew every word, man. When I went back the next year, you know, I left a couple CDs the year before. And it's such a close community that they rocked it. This is my old Songs for Moms album.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went back, they knew every word. At one point, my microphone cut out and they were just singing. And that was the first time that ever happened to me. I was used to playing for like strangers and trying to win them over. These were people singing along.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And they were particularly non-assaulty fraternity.
Yeah. No, I know they exist.
They are out there.
I've hung out with them too.
Totally.
I feel bad for it.
Let's...
casting any aspersions or
maybe we can keep it off of fraternities and just be shady dudes.
Yes.
Whatever kind of brotherhood you're in. It's a separate brotherhood of shady dudes.
Yes.
You guys just need help, man. You just need a guiding hand to show you what's right and wrong.
Yeah, I think so. And you just come out in the light a little bit. And I think there's a shame factor there that kind of leads that behavior of coercion.
That's another thing that they're trying to shift. And I, you know, all trash talking about the White House aside, I admire what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're setting out to do something that does help people.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Spending time and energy on it, even just inviting us was an honor.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd let us help more. Maybe they did. Whatever.
Well, so, you guys are part of the national dialogue, you know?
I want to be.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And but changing the, I think right now some dudes feel like if they don't score, they're going to get made fun of. Oh, dude, mm-hmm. You hook up? No, man, she was a little drunk. I decided to respect her body and maybe go out with her sometime.
Yeah.
Ah, you pussy!
Yeah.
That stuff's gotta go.
Or like scoring is the end game.
Right.
It's like the end result. But there's many more things after scoring. That
so many things.
We could talk about and perhaps.
And scoring's lovely, but both people gotta be into the score or else you're kind of just cheating and throwing the ball in the net.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Like poking the goalie in the eyes. Throwing the ball in there.
Yeah.
And that's not scoring.
It's not a win.
It's not a win.
No.
It's not a point. It's shady.
Yeah.
It's a brotherhood of shadiness. It's got to go.
Yeah.
So, gosh. You seen the new Orange is the New Black?
No. I haven't gotten into that show at all, honestly.
Oh, the first season's amazing.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh, well, I wonder what this is.
Yeah.
13 hours later.
Really?
That was amazing.
Huh.
I binge watch television.
Yes. Because of Netflix.
Because of Netflix.
Available.
Oh, they do it so well.
Have you happened to watch Black Mirror?
Orange is the New Black Mirror?
Black Mirror.
Is Black
no
Mirror
orange.
The new orange black?
Mirror is no orange, just black.
I'm lost.
Other show, English,
got
Twilight
it.
Zone. I just got to say it because we're talking about black things.
Sure.
Netflix. Incredible. Amazing. Amazing mind-warping concepts.
It's a British television show?
It's a British television show.
English?
English.
Now, I love England.
Yes.
It's my favorite place to play in a certain way. One of my best friends in the world is an English dude.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my best friends in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand English television.
Oh, this is so good.
I know. Maybe it is. I don't
know
what it is.
It's not like Downton Abbey. You know?
Yeah, that one drives
no,
just
terrible.
Makes me car sick.
No, can't do that.
I don't know how I get car sick watching television. But
people happen to speak English.
Well, we all, I mean, accent.
Accents.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe that's totally... Is that racist if I don't like English television?
No, no. Prejudice? It's just a humor thing.
That's a prejudgment.
You must have liked some English stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, I love Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
You're right. All right, maybe I'm thinking about one show. Maybe
no,
I'm just...
The Grand... I get you, man. I've watched Doctor Who.
Ugh.
I couldn't do it.
That was tough.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I know.
There's like one episode I can get into. The rest just
loses me.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of Doctor Who fans out there, and I respect you, mm-hmm. and I respect the show.
Yeah.
You don't have to be into everything.
No. No, you do
I don't
not.
Like kimchi, but I respect it. All right? I don't like Doctor Who, but I respect it. And I had to play Doctor Who for a rap battle, so I had to get into it. Mm-hmm. I had to watch about 12 episodes, and I almost threw up.
I liked watching the early, early, early Doctor.
Super old ones?
Because it was a snapshot into technology of that time, into
sure.
television.
Sure.
Other than that, I just couldn't follow.
I love that they've been doing it this long. That's
yes.
great. You
yeah.
know,
might as well keep it up.
Good for them.
Black Mirror, though.
You like
incredible
it?
Incredible show.
All right.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Orange is the New Black, also an incredible show, yep. but very upsetting.
Yeah.
Especially the season two started off and it's like, ooh, it's a peek into our criminal justice system. It's like, ah, that ain't right. Just, that ain't right. In continuing my daydream of running for Congress,
yes,
I prepared a speech.
Okay.
All right? The war on drugs is over. It's time to start the war on addiction.
Yeah.
The war on crime is over. It's time to start the war on poverty. The war on want. The war on inequality. Those are the things I want to say.
That's a great first start.
Thanks. Thank you very much. So you watch this show, whether it's real or not, it's disgusting.
Yes.
To see the way people who make mistakes, people who don't have, people who are desperate, who make bad choices,
yeah.
and can't afford a good lawyer. Ugh.
They get the shaft every time.
And they are now criminals.
Yeah.
And they are put into a system that they cannot possibly escape from in better shape. There's no like,
yeah.
yo, you screwed up a lot. You need to learn and you need to become a better person out of this.
Yeah.
And we're going to help you because we as a society want you to be a better person.
Yeah.
And it's just like a big old stamp on the forehead. It's like, bad.
Yeah. You can't get loans. Have fun getting a job.
Yeah.
You can't vote if you're a felon.
Something like that.
But I heard the fact that it's super hard to get a loan and super hard to get a job. How do you go back into society? How
there's
are you
certain
rehabilitated
kind of crimes, there's
in
certain,
any way?
There's certain kind of crimes that deserve, you know, a real punishment.
Yeah.
But drugs and like somebody smoking their own crack, like it's not good.
No.
But like if you're smoking your own crack, it's kind of your own problem.
Yeah.
Maybe you're robbing people. I don't know. But I don't know. To me, if you're smoking your own crack, it means that there's something wrong in your life that needs to get fixed first.
Yes.
And then the crack is a symptom of some deeper problems. I don't know. I don't think I've ever smoked crack.
I may have.
I think I might have once.
Yeah. I don't. It could have been PCP.
I don't
I'm
know
not
what
sure.
it was. It was one of those nights. Did we just talk about that?
We just did.
Wow.
Well, maybe we have to go into it
a little
some
bit.
Other time.
Into it right now. Right, I mean, I'm not real cool. Well, tell us your story.
I was at some kind of a fraternity, but not a fraternity,
mm-hmm.
but they had the fraternity vibe.
Okay. A brotherhood?
A brotherhood.
Sure.
Of men.
All right.
And I was young. I was like 18 or something, maybe 17. And I was passed a joint, which we're on board with that.
Sure.
Yeah. But it had a spongy kind of filter. Thought it was a little strange.
Odd.
And took a few hits and everything's cool. And then all of a sudden, my buddy, his head, there were like five of them and they were circling around and each had a different expression on it.
Ooh.
And I knew this was not weed. Something was very different.
That sounds like PCP.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what PCP is really.
Me neither. Well, I don't know.
Did you want to rob?
Then I look at the television, they're playing like Animal Planet or something, and there's snakes on it with like surround sound, but there couldn't even been surround sound. I might have been imagining surround
sure.
sound. So then I run into the bathroom, throw up. Next thing I know, I wake up at my friend's place the next morning. So it was something hard. And I don't know what it was, But I lived to tell a tale.
Sure.
It's all good.
You learned a lesson?
Yeah, I was with my friends.
Don't smoke shady things you don't understand.
Yeah, but if something's weird about whatever you're smoking, might want to pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or get the full picture of what's happening there.
Those are the kind of things we got to prepare people for.
Yeah.
Because you can be in a situation where something's offered to you, and there's four dudes around you, and you're young, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you do a drug you never meant to do.
Yes.
Because you don't understand what it is, what it looks like. You know they canceled the D.A.R.E. program? Is that right?
Well, I mean, was it super effective?
It was effective for me.
I knew how to roll a joint because of the D.A.R.E. program.
All righty.
You know?
Well, you know how our state of California feels about marijuana. It has its place in the world.
Yes.
Whether that's in your life or not. It's currently not in my life at all, and I've been enjoying the clarity.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, I don't really smoke at all.
No, not at all.
But when I do...
You smoke crack.
I go full-on spongy filter, sure. Animal Planet.
I think teaching young people what drugs are, what they look like, how sentences you can use to be like, no thanks, dude, I got the flu.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to smoke a joint with a guy who's got the flu.
Yeah.
You know?
I got sores.
Well, all right. But whatever, giving people some tools they can use. So when those moments hit where you're under pressure and stuff's weird and you maybe have had a drink or, you know, you're at a college party and you don't know what's going on, you're prepared for it. And I the D.A.R.E. program was huge for me because I knew what heroin looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a party in college. There was a bong going around.
Mm-hmm.
And some dude was like, hey, man, you mind if I put something on that? And we all thought he meant add to the bong. He took out this little bag of yellow powder. And I knew to be like, whoa!
Yeah.
And I was out. And I knew what that was. I wasn't thinking, I wonder what kind of weird yellowy powder weed flavor that is. Maybe it's butter topping. I knew that's bad. I don't want that in my life. I'm out.
Yeah.
Speaking of heroin, have we ever talked about why I always wanted to take the heroin joke out of the rap battles behind the scenes?
Not here, you haven't.
But we've talked about it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I'll tell you. So I had that experience where heroin actually passed before my eyes. I also have known people who have had friends who've lost their lives to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
It is a not messing around chemical.
Yeah.
It's not something you dabble in.
Yeah. No, you go full on.
You go full on.
Yeah.
And having had that experience as a younger person where someone offered me heroin, and I knew to be like, nope, that's serious, that's bad, I'm out.
Yeah.
That, you know, that was a turning point in my life. I could have been like, yeah, let me try it. Hey, dude, you got any more of that heroin? Hey, man, you got any more of that heroin, man? I don't need this guitar anymore, man. Give me $100. You know, that kind of stuff can happen to people so fast.
Yeah.
People who are unprepared. So that's why I thought it was irresponsible of us. You know, we do have young people watching the rap battle behind the scenes to be joking so lightly about this thing. So if even one kid goes and he's at a party and somebody's like, you want some heroin? And he's like, yeah, rap battle thinks that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I couldn't live with that.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep with that. I didn't feel right about it.
Yeah.
So we tried to like make it serious and I had death do it. Be like, you're going to die. I was like, you know what? We can think of funnier things.
Yeah.
It wasn't about heroin.
No, it's about Lloyd's creepy
face. It was
about
Lloyd being hilarious and taking any joke and doing it over and over again.
Yes.
It becomes funnier. Yeah. And I knew I had more confidence in us to be able to come up with something that has no potential of endangering anybody.
Yeah.
So that's why I took it out. That's why I took it out.
Yeah.
It was me. You can blame me. People ask about it all the time. It's so funny. We'll put up this video with like all these intricate behind the scenes showing this like 9-hour makeup process. And the top comment's like, no heroin? You guys suck. All right.
Yeah.
But that's, you know.
They can keep it alive in their hearts. The comment section wants to keep the heroin joke alive.
Sure.
Go for it.
Sure.
But
I just didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Taking something that, you know, a girl I was dating at the time when that was really, when the heroin joke was really rolling, she lost like a good friend, died because of heroin. She like went to rehab, she got out, her boyfriend gave her some, she overdosed, she died.
Yeah.
And that stuff happens.
Happens. Yeah. Happens. I know people too. Yeah.
Happens. You got to be prepared, man.
Yeah.
You know, having fun, having a drink, going to a party here in the state of California, Colorado, some other places, some marijuana, whatever. But knowing what you're doing, knowing how to be careful, knowing how to be smart, being around people you trust.
Yep.
Makes all the difference.
Sure does.
Being prepared. Well, I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah. Till next time.
Till next time. Wow, that got real.
It's good though. It's really good. It's important.
It's nice to be able to talk about things. So, yeah. We'll have more to talk about next time.
Is there... No, it's cut.
I don't want to stop.
You want to keep going?
I do.
I'm sorry. I thought we were cutting.
No, I thought we were cutting too, but...
Oh, gosh. This is live. This is real. This is fun.
I got to say, having the camera there, I feel more like I know that you are there. You're watching it. Cameras to me, especially when we're making videos like this, I know that there's a person in the room.
Yeah.
Well, I just know, I realized early in making YouTube videos that's there's one person watching this at a time. You're really there, whether you're wearing a long sleeve shirt or a short sleeve shirt, whether you have cats or don't have cats. My cat just came out from his hiding place. You're actually there. And when I started getting, you know, emails and messages, and especially when I started getting letters in a mailbox, it made me really realize how real you are. That's amazing. You're really there. You really watch. You really hopefully enjoy this. So bringing back an old tradition, maybe we'll end this on a lighter note.
Yes.
Let's open some viewer mail.
Great.
Do you mind? I'm hoping you're saying, no, I don't mind at all.
Viewer mail.
Let's see what we got today. The
viewer mail.
So I sat on a pile of viewer mail for a long time because I got overwhelmed by it. There were so many beautiful things coming. I felt like I couldn't keep up with all the beautiful gifts I was receiving. I was like, I want every single one of these. I want to like sleep with it in my bed and go to the person's door and be like, you're awesome, and give them a hug. Yeah. So I have a cabinet full. And so you might see some very, if you sent this, you might be like, I sent that 6 months ago. And that's true. But I still have it. And this one comes to us from, I think this is France? No, Finland. Is this Finland? Inland? It says De Norsk. That's got to be.
Finnish.
Maybe it's Norway.
I think it's Norway.
Somewhere in Scandinavia. It's coming to us. And there's no name. So let's go ahead and open it. I'm curious to see how viewer mail translates to just the audio. So right now I'm opening an envelope, and it kind of smells like cat pee in here.
Yeah, it does smell like cat pee in here.
I think the cat's peed under there. That's strong. That's powerful.
Yep.
They're freaked out. Wow, that's a strong cat pee smell. So the first thing we have in here, you know, for the video camera, I can show it to you. For the audio podcast, I can just describe it. This is a creepy, goopy skeleton head.
Yeah. It looks like it's one of the, whoa.
And his eyeballs squish out and are full of worms and blood.
That's very interesting.
That's terrifying. Wow. So let's see if we can pick up this noise. That is three-dimensional. Wow. Okay. So that's amazing. I'm going to see what the cats can do with that. Hopefully they'll pee on it. Dude, what's with the pee? Huh?
Who's peeing over there?
Both of you. This is a Nordic beef jerky snack.
Oh, yeah. Reindeer?
You going to eat this?
I'll eat it.
All right. Dante's going to eat it. Yeah, I think it's reindeer.
Do I have to eat it on camera?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's do it.
You just said you would eat it.
I know.
You want me to open it for you?
Sure.
All right. So Dante's going to take a bite of this reindeer snack. I do believe this is all in Nordic.
Yeah, hopefully it saves
Norwegian.
After 6 months.
Yeah. So go ahead. Tell us. Give it.
Smells great.
Smells great. Yep. Smells better than cat pee. That's for sure. How is that? It's a good chewing noise. That's the real sound of Dante chewing deer. Reindeer? That's reindeer meat.
Rein Sprechen.
I'm going to eat some reindeer. I feel like I'm violating Santa Claus a little bit.
Yeah, it's good.
Does it taste like hooves?
Tastes like Christmas.
I'm currently biting the reindeer snack. Salty?
Salty. Wet. Surprisingly wet.
Surprisingly moist.
Yep.
Ugh. All right. That's good. I did it. I ate it.
Do you want some?
Derek, you want some reindeer snack? Yeah, go for it, bud. We're all sharing here.
Whoa. Oh.
Okay. This is continuing down the grody trail. This appears to be Havgal. It says Spro Torfish Chips. So I'm assuming that these are fish potato chips. So we go from squishy skeleton head with this noise to reindeer jerky to fish chips. Man.
This is making me uncomfortable.
Norwegian people get down. Dante, you gonna eat fish chips? Come on, dude. You're the co-host. You gotta do the crazy stuff.
Oh, God.
All right. It smells a lot like cat food. Let's see if the cats get into this. All right. So I just opened it. There's a distinct smell. Not fishy, but not familiar. Check it out.
Well, oh, yeah. God.
All right, so you go into that. I'll see if there's a letter here.
You can.
That's co-host job, dude.
No,
when you signed up to be co-host on a podcast, you volunteered to do weird stuff.
Oh.
And if somebody sends weird food, you got to eat it. I mean,
it
that's just...
It expires 2014.
It is... Oh. All right. That's fair. It might be stale.
Oh, my gosh.
A little bite? Let's have a little bite together. Ugh. Little nibble. And I'll
is
see.
Is this like the lutefisk stuff they bury for years and then take out and pee on it?
I don't think so. I don't know. We're going to try a little bit of this. Just a little nibble of fish chip. Let's just get, here we go. Cheers. To Norway. All right. Oh. Scaly. Yeah. You got to eat that whole bite, dude. Come on.
Do not.
You don't have
to. It's
in
my mouth.
I'm not trying to bully you here.
It's in my mouth.
I'm not trying to coerce you, but I thought we were... We held up pieces. I thought we were going to eat the whole bite. There's a good lad. Okay.
Not that bad.
Really not that bad.
No. The smell is awful.
More fear than actual bad taste. So, the letter says, "Greetings from a parallel Norwegian universe." I felt like I wanted to send you a more personal letter than just a fan letter. No problem. I do believe that ERB is a real cool concept. And you are all truly doing an outstanding job. Thank you very much. The letter's very long, so I'm going to see. So his friend, Shark is his friend, has a scary resemblance to me in physically and in other ways. Mm-hmm. So me, there's a Norwegian doppelganger of mine named Shark out there. And I like that. That's awesome.
The ultimate Norwegian universe.
He says his most recent event was to become a dad. So congratulations.
Yeah.
His name, I think, is Ole Erik Oi. Can I just call you Eric? Does that work? Because I don't want to mispronounce your name. My middle name is Alexis, so if you want to just call me Alexis, you can. Do you have a middle name?
Michael.
Michael. That's great.
Yeah.
So from Michael and Alexis, Eric, thank you for this letter. He says he just became a dad. That's amazing. He's got a newborn son. His friend Shark doesn't know he's writing this letter, but they're going on a trip to Los Angeles in a little while. They're coming in May. We missed you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I would have loved to share the rest of our fish chips with you because I'm a little full. I don't think I'll be able to finish them all.
I think I'm good for a few days.
That reindeer jerky tided me over. And he says, thank you for your time while reading this. He says it's sorry it was not written by hand. It's no problem. It doesn't. And he said it's sorry it's not decorated by drawings. That's no problem either. You're a man with a son. You can type on a computer. So they're gonna have a lovely holiday and well, welcome to Los Angeles. I hope you had a wonderful time. Thank you for this glorious box of gifts. This is a handwritten letter, and this is more from Ole. So I'm gonna read this later. Thank you so much for these adventurous foods, these adventurous chips.
Surprisingly good.
That's the thing. I feel like I want to give every piece of your mail its time it deserves and explore it. So let's call it there.
Cool.
That was a good way to end. Little fish chips, little reindeer jerky. And I'll leave you with this. See you next time.